Befriending the Emotional Brain. 1. Dealing with hyperarousal. Over the past few decades, mainstream psychiatry has focused on using drugs to change the way we feel, and this has become the accepted way to deal with hyper and hypoarousal. I'll discuss drugs later in this chapter, but first I need to stress the fact that we have a host of inbuilt skills to keep us on an even keel. In Chapter 5, we saw how emotions are registered in the body. Some 80% of the fibers of the vagus nerve, which connects the brain with many internal organs, are afferent, that is, they run from the body into the brain. This means that we can directly train our arousal system by the way we breathe, chant, and move, a principle that has been utilized since time immemorial in places like China and India, and in every religious practice that I know of, but that is suspiciously eyed as alternative in mainstream culture. In research supported by the National Institutes of Health, my colleagues and I have shown that 10 weeks of yoga practice markedly reduced the PTSD symptoms of patients who had failed to respond to any medication or to any other treatment. I'll discuss yoga in Chapter 16. Neurofeedback, the topic of Chapter 19, also can be particularly effective for children and adults who are so hyper-aroused or shut down that they have trouble focusing and prioritizing. Learning how to breathe calmly and remaining in a state of relative physical relaxation, even while accessing painful and horrifying memories, is an essential tool for recovery. When you deliberately take a few slow, deep breaths, you will notice the effects of the parasympathetic brake on your arousal, as explained in Chapter 5. The more you stay focused on your breathing, the more you will benefit, particularly if you pay attention until the very end of the out-breath and then wait a moment before you inhale again. As you continue to breathe and notice the air moving in and out of your lungs, you may think about the role that oxygen plays in nourishing your body and bathing your tissues with the energy you need to feel alive and engaged. Chapter 16 documents the full body effects of this simple practice. Since emotional regulation is the critical issue in managing the effects of trauma and neglect, it would make an enormous difference if teachers, army sergeants, foster parents, and mental health professionals were thoroughly schooled in emotional regulation techniques. Right now, this is still mainly the domain of preschool and kindergarten teachers who deal with immature brains and impulsive behavior on a daily basis and who are often very adept at managing them.